Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to continue our conversation about Israel is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Also joining us this morning in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
We are so encouraged that you are joining us today on VFN Radio. We're here. We're here for you. We're here to encourage you, to share with you the things the Lord has whispered in our ears over a period of time as he began to speak to us and unfold things to us. And he specifically told me, now it's time to shout up from the rooftops. And so that's what we're doing. Through VFN TV and the Data Radio program, you are hearing what the Lord has shared with us on VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, we're just talking about, very specifically, about what's happening in Israel. And Israel had to defend themselves. They fired the first shot. In America, we talk about the shot that was heard around the world. It was when, you know, the independent, when people were fighting for their independence.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully this week we'll be able to share with you a story about George Washington under original intent. Amazing people. And it's going to take people with the character of a George Washington, a love for God and integrity and understanding of why we can't go that way, because it's going to be very bad for mankind. And it ends bad. It doesn't end well. Some of the things that Hitler told the people of Germany to get in power was, hey, they're not paying you enough. You need to get paid more. You're not being taken care of. I'm going to take care of you. I got programs for you. And it ended very horrifically.
Right.
And it ended with a iron wall around part of Germany, and with the with God's people being killed and destroyed and put in ghettos. And you know, it doesn't end well.
Mm-hmm. No,
you know, JJ, if you have not yet, you know, listened to
Jews and Jesus.
Jews and Jesus, the church and Israel, how the ultimate thing is whether the individual knows it or not, at some point it's going to be placed under that. I mean, they're going to have to try to pay Satan off, you know, which is the destruction of God's people. One year ago this September, the Lord spoke. I was in my office preparing for a VFN family gathering as we're all coming together around the nation. And he spoke to me, and I want you to hear this. This is something I was sharing during that time. And it's amazing how that's what's taking place today. Listen up.
You're very significant, because I went for a time of preparing for the message when God was speaking to me about what I'm speaking to you about this weekend. And as you know, we've been through the progression of getting the things done at the hub. And my office actually used to be where we're standing now. A lot of things happen right here in this office. And then we moved to a new location. So to be able to pull this a little bit, to be able to have what we have now here in the studio. But as I was preparing for the message, the Lord had on my heart to hang these two pictures up. This is a picture that I got before I went to Israel to get my call. And I don't know.
I'm going to make these pictures available to you on the VFN Torch so you can see them. But what I'm showing is a picture of a tree. And then the tree is, it shows the roots of the tree. It shows the base of the tree. And then it shows the leaf, the foliage of the tree, and the fruit of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the roots of the tree are Israel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then the vine of the tree, the trunk. The trunk of the tree is Jesus, Yahshua.
Mm-hmm.
And then as his hands reach out and all these branches come off the vine, then that's the church, his birth. And so we're all connected, and it has the fruit. And so it had all this different fruit up in the tree. And it was an artist that did these pictures, and you know, a limited number of them. And I had it, you know, for quite some time to represent something very specific to me, because where God gave it to me right before he called me when I was in Israel.
Right.
To do to serve him. And so I'm talking about that now. I'm also on the other thing I'm talking about, and it's framed inside of a wooden frame with a glass front, and it's matted and all. And the other one is the United States Constitution, and it was framed and it was put behind glass, and these two were hanging in my office, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that was taking place at that time as I was preparing for it. So listen up.
This is a picture that I got before I went to Israel to get my call. And I don't know if you could, you may have to, the camera too, you may have to actually come in on this particular picture here while I'm talking about it. But this picture is very significant because it's when I actually, that in this tree right here, you have the roots. And the roots of this tree, there we go. Oh, look at that. Nice. Isn't that nice? The roots of the tree is Israel. The tree itself is Yeshua, Jesus. And up here is the church and the branches and the fruit of the church. And I was in Orlando when God actually called me to go to Israel before that prophetic word came to me that I was telling you about. And so this is very significant to me because it's about how we're integrated with Israel. And this is what my office looks like. Got hanging.
This is so important because this is a year ago this September where we are seeking God's perspective of Israel.
Right.
And he just opened our eyes. And this is what, and God was beginning to show me, this is what I want you to hear, I want you to understand. And he kind of made it very, very clear. Very, very clear. Listen up.
Hanging with Israel around. And so this was hanging behind my one of my chairs in my office. And this other particular one, you don't have to look at. It's the USS Constitution. I guess you can if you want to look at it. You can kind of pan over and look at that right there. But that's actually a copy. It's not the original copy of the U.S. Constitution, but it definitely is a copy of the U.S. Constitution. So these are hanging in my office here. These are hanging in my office. And as I'm preparing, and of course, the same time as when God's speaking to you about what we're doing, and he's speaking to a lot of people within the VFM family about what we're doing. So all this crescendo of choir, what God's doing. And so these are actually on my office wall. And this one of Israel literally rips off the wall so loud. It was me and the general counsel was meeting in my office that day. And Pastor Pat from VFN, Kent Homa, who's also here in the studio, like to jumped out of my chair. It was so loud. He like to jumped out of my chair. Yeah, and
it was so funny. It was so, well, it was funny at the time. It was, I can't imagine, I can't describe how loud it was.
How high did he jump?
It was, if you've never seen Pat move quick, right? It's never, it just doesn't happen.
Just smooth, strolling type of guy.
I can imagine, you know, when he was a Mako and he's playing on the football team.
That, he must have glided on that field.
Well, you know, they said, let's go back and watch that in slow motion. I'm sure everybody thought they were probably watching a replay or something, you know? He just doesn't move fast. He just doesn't move fast. He moves.
He glides. I think he just glides.
Glides. He's steady. He's steady. Yeah, like, boom, boom, boom. I mean, he doesn't move. And so it was such a shocker when this thing, and I'm telling you, it ripped off the office wall. I mean, it was this loud, thundering rip. I mean, it was like, right behind him, it was like, rap. And it just slammed to the ground, to the floor in my office. And of course, this is not spiritual or anything, but Pat levitated.
He wasn't
like Jesus ascending to the throne or anything. He was just jumping off that chair as fast as he could because it was very, very loud. Mm. Of course, I was able to see what was going on, so it didn't affect me the same way. And so to remember the moment, I just laughed a lot. I thought it was so funny because I've never seen him move like that. And I'm going to share with you in just a moment. Listen up.
Laughed. We thought it was so funny, you know, and because he jumped out the chair and stuff. And so then it's like early in the morning hours, we rehung the picture of Israel. Nothing happened to it. It lived through this great, horrific, and it's amazing how loud you think it just would have shattered.
That's so important because, you know, God's speaking through what's going on. And the first time Israel and the church falls, nothing happens to it. All that ripping, all that slamming off the wall, hitting. Nothing happened to the glass. Nothing happened to the frame. Nothing happened to the tree. Mm-hmm. It survived that first fall, that first calamity, whatever, you know, caused it to rip like that.
And so it's about maybe about 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that, as I'm there spending my time with God. And it's sort of like Sharon talked about how God would meet me in my office. And then just like it happened with Pastor Pat, it literally ripped off the wall again and hit down. And that time I literally almost threw my laptop in there. It was so loud. And it's like, are you getting it, Brother Greg?
And so, God was preparing me for what he wanted to do. I mean, it was just like, I can't describe how loud it is. It's just not normal noise. And this is early on. Everything's going great in America. Mm. Everybody thinks it's great. Everybody's, has all this stuff going on, have no idea that what's going on in the hearts of our leaders, that they're against Israel. Mm. They're allegedly against them and wanting to do them in and all these things that's going on. And God is speaking to me early on that this is what's happening. You got to get God's perspective, or begin to seek his perspective of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so the church, that picture represents the church and Israel. And we're going to go through something. We're going to go through something like we're talking about in the first hour. And if you didn't hear, they need to hear that and understand that we got to have God's perspective, that God loves us, even though he's saying, listen, have you considered the church in America? Mm-hmm. Have you considered them? Because I don't believe God's done with America, but he's done with our present attitudes. And I think he's going to do some adjusting there. And no matter where the America as a whole goes, the church in America will continue on. Mm-hmm. And this thing rips off the wall. It was so loud. I almost threw my laptop across the room. We were doing late hours. We're preparing for our first broadcast, I think, from VFN TV studios. So we were like living on the edge of watching God birth things. And if we make this available to you on the video of it, you see Brett Holderbaum, now the pastor of VFN Denver, and you see Steve Watson, brother in the Lord. They're holding these two up beside me when we're talking about it. And it was just amazing how it just ripped off. So Israel fell twice. Israel and the church fell twice in my office. And I'm talking about it here. So listen up.
Are you getting it? And this is Israel. At this time when it broke and it fell out, it cracked. The frame cracked. And it busted and it had to be put back together again.
So think about that. I'm believing the Lord is saying through, I was already preparing. He's already speaking to me. And then he made it clear by the church and Israel falling twice. And the first time it fell was loud. It fell with a loud crash, which sounds prophetically.
Yeah.
Mm. A prophetic statement. It fell with a loud crash, and nothing happened. It was just, you would consider it's glass. You figured it would have just totally
cracked something.
Yeah. And the second time, it did like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and this time the wooden part of it cracked, but it stayed together. It didn't break the glass, but it cracked the frame. And I believe, this is just part of what God is bringing, this fullness of what the word is saying to me, that we're going to go through some stuff. Mm. And Israel just had a drone. They had to defend themselves from this drone flying over. And this was a year ago this September that God was speaking to us. And we have to get God's perspective of Israel. And the very fact that our current president is pushing Israel's back against the wall, and he's empowering the Muslim Brotherhood, allegedly, of all these governments around Israel, who hates Israel. I mean, they hate Israel. They believe that Israel needs to be destroyed and pushed into the sea. And we're saying that's, what's the big deal about that? And now Hamas, who Iran funds, in Lebanon, which is on the top of Israel, who is openly in the United Nations, he's just said he wants to do away with Israel. And we let them speak.
That's right.
Why our president just kind of, said the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And you got to go back and listen to that, because what the president is saying, if you listen to what he's saying, if you read the Quran and you understand Christianity, which Jesus is the only way to God,
and
you can't have a relationship outside Jesus Christ, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, then to say that is to defame their prophet or to slander their prophet, which means what he's saying is that the future must not belong to Christians and Jews.
Right.
Because you have to accept the very fact that you're saying Jesus Christ is the Son of God is to say Muhammad is a liar.
That's right.
that what he wrote down is not true. When you just say that, you're not saying he's a liar, but they would consider you a liar and you're slandering Muhammad by just saying that, that Jesus is the Son of God, because they're saying God didn't have a son. And he literally, it, Quran talks about this, but you can hear that where President Obama, this is the title of the highlight or in the VFN Torch, President Obama says that the future does not belong to Christians, must not belong to Christians and the Jews. That's what he's basically saying in the context of that. And we just don't, the church just doesn't read the Bible, much less the Quran. So, you know, I said 18% this week. I think it's 17%, right? George Barnes said 17%.
19%.
So I've been saying 17, 18, 19. You know, if it's under 20% of the church is reading, is reading the word, and only 3% is concerned about applying the word to their lives. Mm-hmm. And so God, he's given us the perspective and beginning to understand. And so when you see a nation stand against Israel, when you see American leadership, and listen, you're the same. You can't divide yourself from another American and say, well, that's not me. When your country does something, that's your country doing something. That's we're seen as one nation. We're not seen as Democrats and Republicans and independents. We're not seen as different ethnicities. We're not seen as all these different religions and stuff like that. We're seen as one nation, as a nation wise. Mm-hmm. And then you have, the nation of Christ that he's the king over, is the church. But we're not trying, it's not a theocracy in America. Just the American Constitution allows us to be the church and allows us to worship God freely. Well, so when you see your president, our president, come against Israel in whatever methodology he's thinking, why he wants to do that, it's not going to be good. And what God laid on my heart was this first shot that they have to fire. The first time they fire a shot to defend themselves, then that's when it's all, you know, it's time to roll.
That's right.
Let's roll, because they should have never had to do that. We should have always stood with them as a nation and been a friend of them. And predominantly,
we always have. I mean, history has shown us that we've always have stayed together with Israel.
Well, we're Judeo-Christian foundation. When you look at all of our laws and things like prudent man and all these different concepts and justice and all that comes from God.
Well, the Ten Commandments used to hang, you know, in the courtroom. You know what I mean?
That's right. It's exactly right. And so but we can't fix it from the outside in. We have to fix America from the inside out, which means us, the church, we have to repent. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal the land. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to change it politically. And I'm saying all this to say, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, because I won't play the rest of this, what happened to the Constitution in my office. Is it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. I really feel I hope it doesn't go this way. I hope it doesn't go this way. But if you go to VFN TV and you watch America, Christianity, Islam, and Israel, you'll understand, God does speak. God's been speaking very loudly that, you know, many people are looking towards the election like something's going to happen in this election that's going to change the direction of our nation. Like, in other words, there's hope in a man, this man or that man. Mm-hmm. But since the issue is not the world, the issue is the church, and God's not going to bring a remedy through a man. He'll bring bondage or a pagan leadership or that type of thing over his people until we repent of our sin. Mm-hmm. That I just hope we make it to that day.
Right.
Yeah.
There's very few, you know, government. Look at Chavez. It was murders taking place. Terrible things were going on down there in Venezuela. And they're not talking about it. They're like a legitimate person with powers. Like, really?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And America's the only one where we have these transition of powers pretty much. And there's very few countries that transition without any violence and that type of thing.
It really isn't a beautiful thing. I mean, if an election, when we do elect, whenever we elected a president, we see that transition of power occur. We really see the Constitution at work. And then that's beautiful, that there isn't a civil unrest, that with, you know, sometimes these debates or these elections get so heated and yet they become so divisive. But when it's all said and done and we elect a president, that is the president of the United States.
Yeah, but we're wanting to do away with the Constitution. That's what actually did it. You know, many people want to do away with the Constitution. Well, what happened in the context of that? And we want to pray for our are the people that are running for office, pray protection over them. Definitely pray for our present leaders across the board, starting with our president down to your local school board. You know, pray for those in authority that they would hear counsel from on high, that they would stand with Israel, and that the plans of the enemy and those that are wanting to do evil things to our country, enemies of our Constitution, foreign and domestic, would not be successful and would not harm, and we would make it through this time. But listen what happened during that time. As I'm going to continue playing just a clip from a VFN family gathering that we had a year ago this September, talking about we're trying to seek God's perspective of Israel. And I'm talking about the Constitution, what happened. It wasn't just, it was not just Israel and the church that fell twice, but also listen to what happened to the Constitution.
And the Lord was speaking, the church. We got to be put back together again. It wasn't destroyed, but it fell. And it had to all come back together again.
The church.
Because I thought, yeah, this is my original call, you know, and God just met me in my office, and just like, it broke. It broke. First time it did, it fell the first time, and it didn't. But the second time, it just broke the frame and all that. So I was able to put it back together, and I was just so amazed. I'm thinking, my goodness, and this is my preparation time for this gathering. And then I go to bed and come up the next day and come into my office, and this time, the U.S. Constitution ripped off the wall, and it was like this with glass frame, this Constitution, but this was shattered everywhere. It wasn't like the church in Israel where it just cracked the frame and you could put it back together again. It fell twice, second time it broke, and you could put it back together. This was just shattered over my whole office, and the office is a large office, and it had glass everywhere. And it was shattered, the Constitution was shattered, so you can literally see right here where the gash is in there, because this is the same one that was in there, that it just broke to pieces. And I believe the Lord's speaking to us. You know, we can throw out our chest and say, like Israel did, who are these people that come against such a great nation? Or look at the reality that we're taking God's commandments out of the courts, we're taking God out of our schools, prayer out of our schools, we're trying to take God's name off our money, we're doing everything contrary to God. We're saying our leaders are saying our president said we're no longer a Christian nation. We're saying we're not going to stand with Israel. Listen, the Creator, now your perspective is changing. He is not going to tolerate this. He's not going to allow this. And so what we can do is when he says, if my people who are called by my name, that's us, not the world, us, will humble ourselves and pray, right? Humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, and seek his face. Then he would hear from, remember how awesome he is outside of everything that we perceive? Hear from heaven and then what? Heal our land. So I really believe, like anything, this is what God is doing. And to confirm, right in the middle of that time is when he's talking to, you know, Brett Sharon about VFN Colorado and confirming. It's the voice of God just spreading all over his church, and those that will hear him will be fruitful in his last days. Amen.
That's totally awesome, you know, to hear that. And it's a little clip from a year ago this September, VFN Family Gathering, where God's beginning to just open our eyes to a deeper understanding of his perspective of Israel. And it was just so eye-opening. It was so empowering. God showed up in a powerful way and just began to give us deeper understanding. And no matter how Israel responds to the church, no matter, understand that the root of that tree, the root of this tree, the root of the vine, the root of what God is doing towards the people is Israel.
Right.
That's right.
And Yahshua came from Jacob. He is a Jew. He came from, and he birthed the church. He's the firstborn from amongst in the church. And so then out of Israel came Jesus, and out of Jesus came us,
the church.
And so we're all connected. And the reason why we're able to come in is because Israel was given a veil where they couldn't see clearly. And so that the Gentiles are able to come in. And you just need to understand, you know, God's perspective. Understanding that, knowing that coming against Israel like this, say what you want to, But if you went back and traced the evidence and you brought in witnesses and you're the commoner, the common plowman, if you would, that's can right. see the dots connecting. It's all connected, and America's tied into that. We are the friend of Israel. We've been the friend of Israel for as long as we've been.
Mm-hmm.
And 1948, but but obviously in our founding, mm-hmm. we've been from the very beginning. It was just, I don't go all the details about how they helped pay for our original revolution and things that were going on.
That's
They've
right.
been with us from the beginning. But with that, that now Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is saying that they know that the only friend that they presently have are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Of all the people in the world.
Wow.
Of all the people in the world, all the nations of the world, China and Afghanistan and Jordan and Mexico and Canada and mm-hmm. Venezuela and, I mean, you go on in India and Nepal and Africa, South Africa, and Nigeria, Egypt. You just name every nation in the world. This is what Israel says today. Its leader says that the only friend they have is our Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what Jesus said. This is what he said to Israel. He said, "You will not see me again."
Mm.
He said, "You will not see me again." What does that mean? The veil will not be gone, right?
Right.
They can't have the ability to see.
That's
you will not see me again until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We, at any moment, church, at any moment, our Savior can return. At any moment, suddenly the harvest, the veil will be lifted, and suddenly the Israel will see what we should have seen for a long time, and we're going to have to catch up, because once they see, the root's going to know how to be, you know what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
and understand that if the prime minister, and we've been praying for the prime minister for quite some time, that God would give him, obviously save Israel and protect mm-hmm. Israel, that God would give him counsel from on high, and it's like he said very specifically to the world, that the only friend Israel has in the earth today are Christians.
That's very encouraging.
Which means this, that they may see the Messiah, Yeshua.
Wow.
They may see Jesus. He said, "You will not see me again." Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we could be so close. Don't listen to people talking about the Lord's not going to come back for this or this. This is what Jesus said. He said, "You will not see me again until you say," and he's talking to Israel, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus said, "In my name you will drive out demons. In my name, in my name, in my name." Because we come in the name of Jesus. The church comes, it's the church of, it's Jesus Christ, the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming in the name of Jesus, and we've been blessing Israel and focusing on Israel, and they're seeing that, hey, my only friend is the one who comes in the name of the Lord,
right.
which
right.
means that they may see at any moment. And at that point, you know, if you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you're backslidden out there and you're just been doing whatever you're doing, you're like the prodigal son or prodigal daughter thinking you got all this time. You know, if you're caught up in all this religion, thinking God's winking at all that stuff while you're not leading anybody to the voice of God and you're building your own kingdom, you better get it straight.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. once this dispensation of grace is over, it's over.
Right.
You know, it's over. And once the full number of the Gentiles comes in and it looks like, oh my goodness, I think there'll be a rapid harvest. I think it's going to be a rapid, you know, harvest. It could happen based on what God is things that are in the earth today. For two things, a rapid harvest for darkness and a rapid harvest for light.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, understanding that full number comes in, and instantly Israel sees, and then it's over. It's over, and we're all talking about it in heaven, as a new heaven and a new earth descends, and all these wonderful things. We're able to go, I'm so glad I was faithful that I didn't live for myself in that thing called a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
I live for God. I gave him everything. I took nothing off the court. I lived my life for him and the advancement of his kingdom. I went out like he told me, and I went and preached the kingdom to all. And for those that believed, I baptized them and discipled them and related to them and encouraged them and encouraged them to the same thing that I did. Today's the day. We're getting close. If you not have you have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today is your day. Wait not one more moment. You know, we shared some of our stories, how we met him. It's important to understand God loves you. He loves you. And he wants to make the Father known to you. And we shared some of our stories, how we met Father God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you can see them and even find a way to meet him yourself right now at meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. We'll be right back. Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today, and what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this. In VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat, based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app. You have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month,
You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I've had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN-TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com. And you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. Hey, John, I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know, I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know, I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know, apps, Steve. Come on, I got to bring you 21st century.
Yeah, and I'm behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're talking about, you know, what's taking place with Israel, and as God has been speaking, kind of confirming some word with Israel and the church. The Lord just spoke to me early this morning, early morning hours, that just plain as day, I believe, that, you know, a lot of people want to say, hey, this is just like the 60s, you know, the 1960s. And 1960s, and some of the prophetic words are that we will go back to the 60s as soon as our president told Israel they'll go back, to then to go back to the 1967 lines, then America's going to have to go back to the 1960s themselves.
Right.
But the difference is this. This is what the Lord was just speaking to me this morning, is the difference, it's not the 60s like you think it is. Because in the 60s, the people who did not like capitalism, the people who were against our military strength, the people that were against our way, the Constitution, were in the streets.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they were blowing things up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on the outside trying to just change those who were on the inside. And so it was a different environment, a totally different environment. And the difference is today, it is like the 60s. But this is the big twist to it. The people that used to be on the outside, who hated capitalism, who hated the Constitution, who hated the military strength of the Pentagon, wanted to blow it up and destroy it, they're on the inside now.
Mm.
And they're having to hire people to make it look like they looked back in the 60s. Because they're interviewing people with Occupy Wall Street and all this, and it's like, they don't know why they're there. They don't have a vision. They're getting paid $8 an hour, some of them, you know, and they're around the world. They're trying to create the appearance like happened back with them. They can't create them. And the reason why they cannot create what they did in the 60s is because they are actually the man now. Mm-hmm. Then they were fighting against the man, but now they are the man. And so the people that hate capitalism, the people that hate the way we do business, the people who hate the Constitution, who want to change it, the people who don't like our military strength, the Pentagon, they are now leading the Pentagon. They're not all of our leaders, but they have authority in it. I'm talking about everybody in government. I'm talking about the leaders over it predominantly. And that they're over Wall Street influence, right, and the Federal Reserve Board and all these different areas. They are the man now,
right? Mm-hmm.
And they can't. They've tried and tried to create on the outside to look like it was back in the 60s. The problem is the people that were on the streets in the 60s are in the White House and in the Congress and in the Pentagon, and they're in those positions now.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't even hire the people to look like them. They were so rebellious and against it.
Right.
And so you have Bill Ayers and all, you know, allegedly, you know, the President Barack Obama's campaign was kicked off right in Bill Ayers' living room.
Right.
When you look about it, he sat on the board with Bill Ayers.
Yeah.
In the school board. They taught together in the same schools, allegedly, that their wife. I mean, this is Bill Ayers is the one that set a bomb off in the FBI building, a Federal Bureau of Investigation building, and said that he wished that he would have blown up more and didn't regret it. Canada won't even let Bill Ayers in to their nation. They think he's too much of a risk, but we let him teach in our universities. And this is where this whole thing's coming from. And we're going to be talking about, there's an agenda going on. Hopefully we'll get a chance to tell you more about it before it's fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of that, there's an agenda happening. And what you've seen is, it's the spirit that was there, the rebellious spirit that's there in the 60s is here. The difference is they're the ones in authority. They're rebelling against God, God's way of doing things. They're rebelling against the Constitution. They're rebelling against our methodology of our strength, that peace comes through power. They're saying peace comes through weakness. And look what's happening in the Middle East and all the things taking place. They're rebelling against capitalism, as they're talking about taxing at a 75%, even at times, quote, 100% tax rate, unquote, was said that our president said at one time that it would be, which means a total communism type of methodology of rule. That's how you do that. I'll take care of you. Give me everything you got. Or slavery, right? That'd be slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're on the inside. The Lord laid on my heart. So that's what's going on.
And so all these, they're inviting people who are against the nation, against our rights come from God, but they're against our God's way of doing things. And our God, they're against Jesus. If you're for Muhammad, you're against Jesus, by the way, because they say Jesus has to come back and repent for being what he, I mean, we'll accept Jesus if he acknowledges he's not the son of God, because Allah had no sons. That's what the Quran says. And just to say Jesus is a son of God, you know, no matter how sweet you say that, Christian, it's not going to be seen as a positive thing. I mean, this is what's going on. You have to understand, the 80-something French soldiers died to liberate Afghanistan. And so they go to sign a treaty with Afghanistan, and because it's under Islamic law, according to the Quran, that's how they're running things, they said, we cannot sign this treaty because it says friend. It says friend. And the Quran tells us that we cannot have an infidel as a friend.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
85 French soldiers died to liberate them.
Unbelievable.
And they just said so this is what France did. France went back and changed the word, the infidel, went back and changed the word and called it. So we'll just put the word relationship there so we can have a treaty with each other.
Wow.
And it's like, don't you get it? They don't mix. Islam and Christianity don't mix. And normal way of doing it. Islam is about taking over the world for Allah, their God, and their rule of law is the Quran. I mean, that's the way they would see that. Mm-hmm. And so if you say, hey, I think that we should go ahead and sign a treaty or that type of thing, they're going to go back and they're going to check their law. And their law says, this is how it happens. This is how it happens. And they specifically said, allegedly reported in the news, that they could not sign a covenant or a treaty with France, who gave up like 85 died to give them the ability to even write a treaty.
Wow.
Because the Quran says that you cannot be friends of the infidel, which means you can't be a friend with a Jew. You can't be a friend with a Christian. So JJ is not going to be your friend.
No.
And those who are just outright, you know, against everything. And Islam is not your friend if you are not a follower of Muhammad. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, their goal is to convert servitude, or if they're fully dedicated to the concept like the Muslim Brotherhood, then to do away.
Mm-hmm.
And so with you. And so that's the Lord in my heart, that here we were, you know, the guys were on the inside. And so they can't even hire somebody to look like them. But understand this. The spirit's still here. The Guy Fawkes mask is worn by those who are in leadership. That's who it is. It's the guy in the tuxedo. It's the guy, you know, in the West Wing. It's the guy in the Pentagon. It's not all the soldiers, but it's the people who are over it. Right. And they're rebellion. They're irreverent. Anything against the Constitution, against God, you see this unfolding rapidly. Why? Because it's Guy Fawkes. They're trying to blow this puppy up in the concept of what we stood for. And they can't even, it's so bad, they can't even find somebody to hire them, to pay them, to act like them.
Mm.
And I thought, well, that's pretty interesting, God, because that definitely makes sense. It totally makes sense. And so don't think that the spirit of rebellion, the things that God's been showing us about Guy Fawkes and all that, that's not here. They're trying to hire somebody to look like them in the streets, and nobody's buying in right now.
Right.
But I really believe at some point this whole thing's going to morph, and the whole thing's just going to just, you know, take its course. But I want to encourage you this morning with that, that in the wisdom moment, today is the 8th of the month, and we always look at the corresponding chapter. And I'm going to read this morning from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 through 36, which is unusual. But I'm doing that because Proverbs is talking about one specific thing. When you hear wisdom, he's talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear, you can interchange wisdom with Jesus, Jesus with wisdom.
That's right.
And so wisdom is not a good idea or a great concept. You know, when he says follow, when Jesus says learn my teachings and follow them, he says, listen, learn wisdom, me, and follow wisdom, me. That's what he's talking about. And people say, well, you could be a Christian, but you never follow wisdom. Well, not follow wisdom is not to follow Jesus. You have a desire to follow wisdom. But listen to this, because Jesus is wisdom. Proverbs 8, starting at 22 to 36. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works.
before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there was no oceans, I was given birth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth and its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizons on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundaries so that the waters would not overstep his command. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman by his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not ignore them. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor with the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 8, 22 through 38. See, wisdom is not just a good idea. Wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom is Jesus. He's just not, it's not just a good idea. It's a God idea. Jesus is a God idea. He was before all was created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, but the Word was with God before he was created. He's God. When we're talking about the wisdom moment, listen, you need to take this and soak the wisdom moments in to make them part of your life. Understanding by making God's wisdom part of your life, you're going to be blessed in all that you do, that you're going to find life for wherever you find wisdom. You find Jesus. And you receive the favor of the Lord. Today's wisdom moment, Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, 22 through 36. We'll be right back.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling right out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do. Okay, and I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay, religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay, the cross has benefits. Okay, there's great benefits to Christianity, but Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you, or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, but we're not just talking about it. We're doing it. vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We are coming to the end of the Extra Hour. We had a wonderful time with you. We got so much more to share with you. I can't wait to tell you the rest of the things the Lord is making known and has made known to us. Be encouraged. Look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Realize that the moment you see the Israel saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, this could be the day. This could be the hour. God bless. And we'll see you. Don't forget 24/7 on VFN Radio. And also at vfntv.com. God bless.